So life is regularly, perhaps we could even say constantly, paradoxical. We can have accomplishments amid failures. We can be facing happy things while we face sad things. We can even have a tornado amid a rainbow. I didn't know if that was a rain-nado or a torn-bow, whichever it is. So today, I imagine most of us, maybe all of us, are holding mixed emotions ourselves. So this service is dedicated to processing these complex and conflicting emotions together. So let's start out engaging our sense of loss. Let's start with this immediate situation. Being in the building, being gathered together again, I would expect is stirring memories, conflicting emotions. It is for me. Being here truly is a source of joy. It feels wonderful. But at the same time, we can't help being reminded that for the past 25 months, we've been without it. And we missed out on the one-on-one socializing and mingling before and after services, the meals together, and the experience and feeling that comes from being in the building and being in community together. It was indeed a blessing and a gift that we had the option of virtual church. It did keep us safe while we could have services and community. But there was always, you know, a little bit of a shadow even over virtual church because of those losses. Let's also name the fact that the pandemic is probably not the best time to start a new relationship with your new minister for you or for me. None of us had a roadmap or a blueprint about how that should work. We've all just adapted as we've gone along. Now, beyond our congregation, the losses, by any measure, are staggering and difficult to fully wrap our head around. The human cost, whether we care to measure it in deaths or in long-term symptoms or in the health inequalities the pandemic highlighted, the human cost is overwhelming. The world's economy suffered. Lockdowns, travel restrictions, supply chain issues, and on the list can go. All of that has trickled down to impact all of us through job losses, now inflation, a loss of opportunities, the social toll, the psychological toll for many people has been devastating. My own depression and anxiety have skyrocketed through the pandemic, and I know I'm not alone in that. We all lost time away from loved ones and experienced delays or losses of special events, a loss of leisure activities and things that bring us joy. The political and public debates about how to best handle the pandemic, it strained and exacerbated political differences, and we're still struggling with that. We're still dealing with that. So all in all, if we were to call the past 2 years difficult and challenging for everyone, would be quite an understatement. And when I say that it was challenging for everyone, I do mean everyone. Each and every one of us have experienced a variety of losses that mattered to us and to our well-being. Now, loss is not something that we can put on a scale and then adjust how we feel about it based on what's on the other side. So, for instance, oh, well, gosh, you broke 10 bones in your car accident, and I only broke 2 bones in my car accident, so therefore I should feel better than you, or I should feel grateful because I don't have it as bad as you. No. It doesn't work like that. And in fact, that's not helpful for anyone. It's okay for us to have some degree of survivor's guilt. That's understandable that we came out of the pandemic better than some people did. It's okay to appreciate that some people suffered losses that might seem bigger or more profound than ours, but guess what? We're not in a competition. There's no prize for the worst. Each and every one of us have every right to mourn our losses, whatever those losses may be. So don't let anyone, and that includes ourselves, don't let anyone denigrate your pain or try to make it less than. A loss is a loss, and a loss is painful. So what we're going to do right now is I'm going to open up this space for all of us to consider and name and mourn whatever losses we need to mourn. So I got most of you a sheet of paper and a pen to most of you. If you didn't get one, I'll find you. So we're going to do a little bit of time of reflection. So I invite everyone to consider, what losses have you suffered the last 2 years? And go ahead and record those. Write them down. And Allie's going to play a little quiet background music for us while you all are thinking and writing. And if anyone needs pen and paper, I'll be around with them in a moment. So burdens shared are burdens reduced. And I'd like to invite us to share about our losses in two ways. So first, if you're comfortable having your losses posted on the bulletin board in the stairwell, in a few moments I'm going to gather them up. If you would rather take yours home and burn it or bury it or whatever you'd like to do, you're welcome to do that. And secondly, if some of us would like to voice a loss or two or three to this community, I invite you to do that. I will get us started with what I would consider to be my chief loss, my mental health. And I don't mean I lost it in the sense that I no longer understood what reality was. I mean it in the sense that my typical coping mechanisms to deal with my depression and anxiety weren't always there. So it's easy to say, oh, well, just do some self-care. That'll fix it up. Well, yeah, I know that. Knowing what to do wasn't the problem. The problem was the things that I like to do to help that weren't there. So the few that were still available started to reach a point of diminishing returns, I found, over time. So I invite anyone else who would care to share your loss aloud.
And I'm Lynn, and in 2020 I lost my dad and four uncles. Only one of them died of COVID. But it was just a year of loss after loss. And I think probably harder for me to deal with is the fact that I lost my faith in the UUA to be a religion with reason at the center, because I think our national organization has gone bonkers, and I don't feel welcome there anymore.
I guess I'm lucky. I couldn't think of any personal losses, but Ukrainians came to my mind and we all see what's happening there, and it's just so depressing.
So we lost an 8-month-old baby in our family in last year, and while I think there's the loss of her, there's also the loss of time with her, because with her being in the hospital during COVID, there were a lot of restrictions for safety, which we absolutely understand, but that meant...
We're back. Zoom is back cooperating. So those of you at home, I want to make sure you have opportunity to share any losses if you would like to do that.
Many losses, but I think that what really struck me at the beginning of the pandemic, and it has continued all the way through, my loss of trust in my fellow citizens. I really thought that we would all come together for the greater good to protect ourselves, to protect each other. Such simple ways to reduce the risk and take care of each other. And that's incredibly disappointing to me, to say the least.
Amen.
So Caitlin's going to come down the aisle. If you're comfortable with your loss later being posted on the bulletin board in our stairwell, then please pass them to her. She'll gather them up. So as Caitlin's doing that, I'm going to offer some words to honor all of our losses. I'm going to call it a prayer, in fact. To the Spirit of life and love, we have named our losses. We have spoken our losses. We feel the pain of our losses. We gather and display them in the bounds of this loving community. We offer them to the universe as raw and real expressions of our human experience. So I invite everyone to take in and release a nice cleansing breath as we mourn all of our losses. So today was dedicated to struggling with the conflicting paradox of what happens when you're feeling loss and hope at one and the same moment. And it's because even amid loss, even amid mourning and life's bad times, there are reasons to hope. Things are obviously far, far better now than they have been in a long time. Now, they're not perfect. Dr. Sanjay Gupta on CNN recently noted that 500 some deaths per day is still very much a pandemic. The pandemic isn't done. But nonetheless, the battle against COVID has had enough victories that things are safer and have allowed us to resume many of the things that bring us joy. Now, the battle against COVID will continue. Health inequalities remain, but that's why we call it hope and not satisfaction. We didn't solve it. We have hope yet that things will be resolved. Progress against the disease has and is being made, and this is a cause for hope and for optimism. Resuscitating the things that bring us joy is a cause for genuine hope. So, yes, pandemic virtual church carried some losses with it, but virtual church was far, far better than no church at all. And we figured out how to do it. And those of you who were there at the time when we started to figure out how to do it, it wasn't a small thing. And we provided meaningful services for 2 years. Thank you to everyone who was part of it, and thank you to everyone for being there. And I am truly grateful that we had it, and I'm proud of us for what we accomplished amid those trying times. At the start of the calendar year, the board and I and a few of you put together a list of our accomplishments from 2021. And I won't repeat it here, except to say that we did a lot, and that our small congregation accomplished as much as we did fills me with pride. Pride in our past, hope for our future. And beyond those big sort of church-wide things, we should also be hopeful and proud of all of the smaller things that happened. Friendly one-on-one conversations and conversation among and between us. Our care and our love for one another gives me hope as well. Now, this is important too. In addition to what we did do, it's what we did not do that gives me hope. We did not take our anxiety out on one another. We didn't stomp our feet and yell until we got our way. We didn't have anyone quit because they didn't get their way. Not all congregations can say that. That it did not happen to us wasn't just mere chance or happenstance. It's because we consciously made choices to handle our differences, especially when it came to the very tough question of how to deal with COVID and safety issues. It's because we made the choices to handle that in loving ways. And we did it in appreciation that sometimes, for the sake of the whole, your own perspective might not carry the day. Guess what? That's called democracy in action. And we should all feel pride and hope in ourselves and our community about how we conducted ourselves, or did not conduct ourselves, both of those. Hope is an aspiration. Some of our hopes, perhaps they won't come to be. Some of them might need a reframing or a readjustment along the way. But hopes are not wishes. Hopes do carry at least some degree of expectation that it can come to pass. Hopes are grounded in realistic optimism. So I invite all of us to consider, what are you feeling optimistic and hopeful about? It could be personal, it could be congregational, national, even planetary. So let's do the same thing, Allie. Let's do the same thing we did with loss and spend a couple of minutes reflecting on what is giving us hope. So please take a few moments to reflect and write down what you are feeling hopeful about. Shared, our hopes amplified. So as before, if you're comfortable in doing so, I invite you to come forward and speak a hope or two into the microphone. And as before, we're going to gather them up at the end. So I will get us started. What gives me hope? UUCCHC. Mic drop.
I got a hope that the fact that the political things seem to be not quite as ferocious as they have been in the past, and I'm hoping that that trend goes further and we get cooperation between the two parties and things go more like they were in the prior years.
I have typically watched a lot of news and over the past few years, and I decided about 10 days ago to stop that because I figure if there's anything I need to know, I'll hear about it. And instead, I'm focusing on world peace in my thoughts and prayers because I think that we give it power. We give the war power, we give the negative power by concentrating on it. So if we concentrate on world peace and seeing everyone caring about each other and loving each other, that's where I have hope now. And we have a new grandson coming mid-May. That's very hopeful for me. We have a granddaughter graduating from high school, and she's going to do it differently this year than her sister did it 2 years ago. because her sister didn't have a graduation in person. So that's something that I'm excited about and hopeful for. Travel's opening up. There's a lot to be hopeful for, but you have to focus your thoughts on something more positive than the negative, because that will drag you down.
So I have three. My sons are finding success in their lives. We've had a wedding in the last year. Wiley, we're going to attend Wiley's graduation in a few weeks from his master's program, and Alden's going to be starting in the fall. So the boys are doing well. Neil is continuing to be stable, and we get to be together. And my career is still fulfilling, and I've gained recognition from my peers and employer, and I have hope that all those things will continue.
Now that I have been connecting more with friends in real life, in person, I realized how much I've missed that and how important that is, how fulfilling that is, and to share that bond again. And my hope is that I will never or take that for granted.
As before, Caitlin is going to come on down the aisle. So if you are comfortable in having your hopes put on the bulletin board, she'll gather them up. And as she does so, I'm going to offer this prayer. To the universal spirit of life and love, we have named, spoken, and gathered our hopes, all in the bounds of this loving community. We offer them to all that is good in the universe with the aspiration that they will come to pass and improve the well-being of ourselves, of our community, and our planet. So I invite us all to breathe in and absorb all of that hope and good intention. So finally, paradox, loss and hope, sadness and optimism, heartache and joy, rainbows and tornadoes. Life often asks us to hold complicated and conflicting feelings at once. Perhaps we can say that this is part of what it means to be human, part of what it means to be alive. The human condition is not simple. It's not straightforward. But do consider that with that complexity comes greater freedom and latitude in how we approach life. We have far greater options than, say, a one-celled organism does that just instinctually does its thing. So as we leave this space today, may we all remember to celebrate our joys in the midst of sadness, our success in the midst of challenges, and to mourn our losses while we do our best to transform our hopes into reality. May it be so for our cherished church community. May it be so for every person here today, whether virtually or in person. May it be so for everyone.